Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, if you joined us late, well, I don't understand
Shame on
why
you
would.
Shame.
We had an argument in the 3 o'clock hour because tonight for my birthday, we're having steak and cake. And it just blew Don's mind, Chef Boyardee, that you could actually make steak indoors. And, you know, Jody can hear me from the other room, and she's so annoyed that she is actually going to prepare the steak, and she will show it at 7 o'clock when the show goes off the air so Don can see what a steak indoors actually looks like.
Well, I'm getting tweets from people. I'm again, I didn't know you could. And I still think it would taste better outside, but there's, like, no take. It's like I just didn't realize that it was – I always thought that cooking inside in a conventional oven, you're really sacrificing a lot. But people have showed me that you can do it. I didn't know. So you ask questions. So if that makes me an ignoramus, then so be it.
You know what? I'm sorry. All right, can I apologize? I'm going to be more of a grown man now that I've reached 62.
Good for you.
Because I should have expected this from you. You didn't learn time differences till you're 15. So
see?
I'm going to stand by not being that bad, first of all, of a take, and also not knowing. Yeah, I know you can cook anything, but I just always think that's a sacrifice. It's just not going to be as good. I'm sure she'll make a delicious steak, Michael, but I would make it better on the grill.
You do realize, Don, that every famous restaurant in the world, they cook stuff indoors.
I understand, but they have equipment to do so. Do you have that kind of an oven?
No, I have an oven.
I'm sure you can make pizza, too, in a conventional oven, but it's better to do it in a pizza oven.
You're right.
But you definitely can do it in a regular oven.
I know you can, but it's not going to be as good as that, going to a pizzeria that has a pizza oven.
You ever make wings in the oven?
Me?
Either of you.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing, though. Like, you can make wings on the grill, and you can throw wings in the oven.
I've never made wings on the grill.
You never made wings on the grill?
No.
Never?
No.
What, are you a hack?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Never made wings on the grill.
Well, what are you not getting?
It's like a fairly common barbecue move. Throw some wings up on the grill.
First of all, when I have a barbecue, I'm going to have a hamburger. I'm not going to have wings.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure.
Why do you limit yourself like that?
Because I'm limited.
So all you can have is a hamburger or a hot dog? That's it?
Yeah.
If someone says, hey, do you want a chicken wing? You're disgusted by the idea?
No, I might have it, but I'm not going to go out of my way to make it. If I have a barbecue, it will not be chicken wings on the barbecue.
But Don, what's the tone? Why is he saying it that way?
Because I'm dismissive of every idea that's different than mine.
Yeah, I'm not having
chicken wings. And it's something I have to grow from.
Yeah, no, you really
instead
do.
Of saying, oh, I never had that before. That's interesting. He's got to mock it. It's all, you know what it just comes from? He's insecure.
You know what, Don? You could be more right.
I'm very insecure.
It is very sad. In fact, I would say borderline pathetic.
Well, that hurts.
Yeah.
I don't want to go that far.
No, I would love jumping into raw meat.
I've got unbelievable issues. I think everybody knows that over 21 years.
Do you think that
you're
turning 62 today, right? Uh-huh. The big 6'2".
Yeah.
I'm Aaron 57. Judge. I'll be 53 next Saturday.
Well, that was a quick 5 years, huh? Four. So my question for you is, when do you think you're finally going to grow up? And
I don't think I will. I think I've crossed the Rubicon.
Does it depress you to realize that you could live that long and be so undeveloped as a person?
Yeah, because sometimes on the Saturdays when I take the kids to go skiing lessons, I just shake my head and go, why didn't I ever do this? Or when I've taken them to ice skating lessons, why didn't I ever do this? Or when I see people having fun eating sushi, why didn't I ever try this? It's over. I understand it.
But all of those things are solvable.
No, you can't start skiing at 62.
Sure, you can.
It's a great way to break a hip. No, ruin your knee. I'm not going to do that.
Well, you'd be okay. Give it a shot. How about a snowboard? A little snowboarding.
No, snowmobile I could do.
That's more dangerous when you really think about it.
Yeah, but I'm in control. I can do it. I'm fine.
But you won't.
I've been on a snowboard.
How about a piece of sushi, though? That's a really doable thing.
Yeah, I know. Nothing. If it's out of the sea, it's not for me. Nothing attracts me less.
Can we come up with something? Next week, we're doing a live show. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Oh, yeah, next Friday on the island, Long Island.
Yeah, the big Super Bowl Friday show. Maybe Kristaps Porzingis will get traded. We'll find out.
Let's hope.
Can we get you to eat something you've never eaten before? Give the people what they
no.
want.
Like what?
What kind of restaurant? What kind of fare?
It's supposedly a great restaurant.
The sport is like a sports bar.
No, it's not. It's like a real restaurant.
I'm gonna take a look. Anthony,
they have an executive chef.
Yeah.
Oh, they do.
Yes.
Yeah. They don't have an executive chef at McDonald's.
Eric Levine is his name.
How do you
love Eric?
How do you know this?
Because Al Gattulo, who used to work here, knows him and told me you're gonna love that place. He's great. He's a great guy. He's a great cook. So you probably make anything. So try it, Michael. You know what's interesting? We were in San Francisco for the Super Bowl when you tried bananas. So it kind of be it could be a Super Bowl thing. Like every Super Bowl,
I'm going to go over some things here, Don. Tell me what you're interested in. This is at the 317 on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
What town are we going to again?
Farmingdale.
Farmingdale. All right. So there's fried calamari.
Nah, no. I've been told by people not like it. It tastes like rubber.
All it is delicious fried.
Yeah, it's really.
It's great.
You can get like a, because you like buffalo sauce, right?
Love it. Yep.
So you can get.
Dip whatever you want.
Yeah, you're trying it. That's it.
Done.
No, I don't want calamari.
All right, boneless chicken thighs.
Well, I'll go with thighs.
That's fine, though. That's not even exciting. No. How about soup dumplings? You've never had soup.
Yeah, never had soup.
I've never had soup. That sounds a dumpling.
Sounds amazing.
You've never had a soup. You've never had soup or a dumpling.
No.
You know what dumplings are.
I think so. Yeah.
And they fill them with soup and ground chicken and all kinds of varieties.
Really good.
Think about trying that. Go.
How about the prosciutto wrapped burrata? Mm. Yeah, that's manageable.
I like burrata, although it's a little gooey.
Now here's something that would make Michael puke, and I love it. I could have 1,000 of them. Deviled eggs.
No, not on a bet.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either.
You don't do deviled eggs?
No.
Oh, they're so good. There's tacos.
Well, how about let me try a cheeseburger?
You've done that before.
Oh.
How about ramen?
Is that noodles?
Yep.
There you go.
I'll give it a shot.
Okay, buffalo. How about a buffalo chicken mac and cheese? I mean, that's just a delight.
I don't think I'd like it, but I would give it a shot.
Okay. You know, you're sounding. Oh my God, I got to tell you though, Don. He asked about the burgers, though. Take a look at these burgers.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for this.
Don's visibly excited.
Yeah, this is.
Hey,
it's like red tube for food.
Want to congratulate John Pelosi.
I don't know if we could say that.
Want to congratulate John Pelosi, Nancy's nephew.
Seriously?
Yeah, 4-pack of Knicks tickets.
Oh, you made that up.
And John is from Totowa, New Jersey.
Totowa.
That's a Super Box winner. We have another one at 5 o'clock. Stay tuned.
I'd bet you even money, that person's remotely related to Nancy Pelosi.
Really?
You don't know.
Why? But you think Pelosi is not...
I don't know. Have you ever met a Pelosi, Don?
No, I have not.
I never met a... Michael, you ever met a Pelosi?
I don't recall meeting a Pelosi.
So this is against your argument.
No. It's for my argument.
I'm saying that since you don't meet Pelosi's, they all must be related.
Yeah, that there's a chance.
Like, you've met millions of Rosenbergs.
Well, I don't know if millions. Name another one right now.
Sid.
Sid Rosenberg?
Damn it. Is that the only one you know?
I do know Sid. He's a friend.
Yeah. But me and Sid, or that's it?
Well, let me think. I mean, don't throw Rosenberg questions at me and expect me to have answers right away.
Julius and
so many people I'm friends with.
Julius and Ethel?
They're dead. Executed.
But we do know who they are.
That's right.
A pretty significant story.
I don't think it's a proud moment to be connected name-wise with them.
Oh, my God. That was a...
Let's go to the phone.
A real reaction.
That was a reaction. Hold on, Mike. You have to understand, that reaction was not that he saw a ghost. This is Don reacting to seeing a hamburger.
Oh, my God.
Don's excited about this remote. I hope that ever... Because, again...
Oh, yeah.
What we're doing with the K-Show, it's the press, the flesh tour. We're trying to get out there.
Well,
that
we
want to meet you people. Shove meters in your pockets. That's what we want.
And also, you never know if it's going to be the last time you're seeing the K-ster.
Well, I mean, they'll see me on Yankee games.
His future hanging in the balance. Yeah, it's different, though. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
The Yankee U is okay. It's not the real K-ster. It's the Yankee K-ster. This is the real K-ster. By the way, Michael, you reposted some... The Yes Network did a birthday tribute video.
Yeah.
They did?
During the COVID, Joe Villalone of Yankee Magazine, they were desperate. It was during the lockout. Right?
They were desperate for content.
They had no access to players, so they did a whole half hour on me.
Oh, my. Oh, that's what it was from?
And they called like 4 minutes out of it.
Now, real quick, Don, do you think that this video acknowledged in any way that he does a radio show or simply that he exists as a Yankee?
That video that's on there, no. But the whole show did.
They included that? They mentioned this?
Oh, thanks for small favors.
Do you know, I shouldn't say this, but I was talking to an ESPN executive yesterday.
Oh, really? About what?
High level.
Okay. Well, high level. I wonder what you were discussing.
No, it wasn't even about the show.
Okay.
But there's a good chance there'll be a K-Rod this year for a Met Yankee game. That's an ESPN exclusive. So the Sunday Night Crew will do the game, and there'll be a K-Rod. And the ESPN executive said, you know what? Might be a good idea that we get Don and Peter on that K-Rod. And I shot it down immediately, but he said, no, I think you should think about it.
That I'm telling you what, that would be such a good time. It makes sense.
It really does make sense. Because it would give, I think
yeah,
it would do a
decent
number.
But how about the people in Oshkosh, Wisconsin? They're going to say,
yeah,
these
well,
two guys?
You know, they didn't worry about that with Francesa.
Yeah, well, God, you know what, Don? Drop the mic, walk out of here. All right. When they decided to have a local radio reunion yesterday, randomly on an episode of First Take, they weren't thinking about Oshkosh. And by the way, Don plays well in Oshkosh.
Oh, Don is Oshkosh. I think you play very poorly in Middle America.
I might. But by the way, but so would Mike. Like Francesa's not Oshkosh. He's New York. Don LaGreca.
Don Sweater he's wearing today screams Oshkosh.
Yeah, look at him. The man
I
looks
didn't
like
care
he was,
what time it was in East Jibib.
He looks like he was born in East Jibib and moved to Oshkosh.
All right, let's go to the phones, right. Shall we?
Yeah,
do it.
Let's go to Danny in Long Island. Danny.
Good afternoon, crew. Another great show as always. I have to rush to Don's defense slightly.
Well, I'd love to hear this.
Okay, listen. I'm a cook. My brother's actually a chef. Whenever there's a barbecue within walking distance, the best way to cook a piece of steak is on a barbecue. And every steak restaurant is basically cooking it on an indoor barbecue grill. They're not cooking it in the oven at 350 like next to the baked potatoes. It's on an open flame above the stove, and it's getting broiled. Has the same effect as a steak. So even though you can cook the steak on many ways, if there's a barbecue within 30 feet of your back door, that's the way to go. So, Don, I got your back on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
But Daniel,
Daniel, wait a minute. Yes.
Did it just occur to you today, on February 2nd, 2023, that you could, in fact, cook a steak indoors?
I have a giant wrought iron pan that one of my kids bought me. And you cook it, you sear both sides of a nice big piece of meat, and then you put it right into the oven. So there are other ways of doing
Thank you, Danny. But none of it
comes close to an actual barbecue. Wow. But anyway, I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers for a second. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I agree with you, Mike. Aaron Rodgers was in a division where another team did not win a playoff game for 10 years. Okay? He had no Tom Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger keeping him out of the Super Bowl for the last 11 years. The thought that he's suddenly going to drop in on the Jets and that the Jets are going to bypass all these AFC teams with great quarterbacks is ludicrous. Because now at this age, we don't even know what kind of Aaron Rodgers we're getting. So Aaron Rodgers has been a great statistical quarterback. Has he been a Hall of Fame? I mean, obviously going to Hall of Fame. But he's been to one Super Bowl in 11 years. And there was nobody keeping him out of it. Who? The Bears? The Detroit Lions? Nobody. So the fact that, yes, he's going to come to the Jets. If the Jets want him, they have to take him. If he wants to come to the Jets are obliged. I agree with that point. But the fact that you think all of a sudden they're better than these other teams and he's playing in the AFC Championship game is ludicrous to me. That's my point.
That's something that's gotten me, Danny, is like everybody, I mean, people in our business, it's just like a fait accompli. If he comes to the Jets to go to the Super Bowl, I don't think that's a sure thing. I don't think they'd be a favorite. I don't think they'd be the fourth favorite in the AFC to go to the Super Bowl. Do you?
Yeah, it's maybe third. Because okay. what is Josh Allen? You're going to go
Bengals, Chiefs, Bills.
But the Bills is debatable, right? They did beat the Bills during the regular season with no quarterback.
Right.
And what does Josh Allen want? Like, you're going to talk to me, at least Aaron Rodgers has won. Now, Josh Allen has been an amazing regular season quarterback, but, you know, this is a guy that hasn't even played in a championship game, right? So, you know, let's, I think he's a great quarterback, and right now is better than Rodgers because he's younger.
But if we're going to complain that Rodgers hasn't won anything in a wide open division, I mean, Josh Allen hasn't made any kind of run either.
Rodgers has had 20 kicks at the can.
No, I get it. And he's also was upset that they didn't get him enough weapons. That's why he didn't get along. He didn't love the pick with Love because he felt like they needed another weapon. There was dysfunction there. I mean, I can also say that, you know, winning a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy, looking how that aged, was pretty good accomplishment. Mike McCarthy hasn't been able to do anything with Dallas, and every year Dallas sends like 7-8 guys to the Pro Bowl. That's how talented they are. So there's extenuating circumstances. So, hey, there's no guarantees, but I really like their chances of becoming relevant and having a real shot at it.
Let's go to Brandon in Connecticut. Brandon. Brandon.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, Brandon.
Oh, no, Brandon. Right, Brandon?
It is like all these Jets fans have just been conditioned to lose, and that is why they do not want Aaron Rodgers. You get 2 years. You get two shots here, because in 2 years, 3 years, you're going to have to pay Sauce Gardner. You're going to have to pay Garrett Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Take the Rodgers money off the books. You restart. You draft someone. You start all over. Joe Douglas especially and Saleh save their jobs. I don't understand how any Jets fan not making the playoffs in over a decade doesn't want to roll the dice this way.
Well, it's funny, though, Brandon. I think that's a narrative that's developing, but we take phone calls on the show. I mean, there's the occasional nudnik. I don't want to imperil the future. But you agree, guys, that most Jet fans are on board, right?
Yes.
I think most, yeah.
I think sports talk radio breeds guys that want to be contrary to the opinion. Call up with the hot take. They don't want them. But if you ran it up the poll, honestly, it would be like at least 80-20 in favor of getting Rodgers for all the reasons the caller said. And maybe it doesn't guarantee a Super Bowl, but what does Steve Young talk about? Being relevant, playing big games, making the playoffs? Heck, how about that novelty? Make the playoffs for the first time since 2010.
Now, according to DraftKings, the Jets are currently the eighth favorite to win the Super Bowl in 2024. And I guess Vegas is assuming they're getting Rodgers.
Here's something. Rodgers, playing in a golf tournament, was asked if he has any news.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Cole.
Got any news you want to share with us?
Not going to San Fran.
You look great with a Cowboy star on your helmet.
He's not going to San Fran.
From CBS Sports, by the way.
Why would he say he's not going to San Fran?
I don't know.
Is that for sure?
Because they're not trading him in the NFC? I guess that's...
They say they don't want to trade him in the NFC. Let's say that they really want to move on for Rodgers. He doesn't have a no-trade clause, but they're not going to trade him anywhere he doesn't want to go because he'll just not go. He could retire. So if he really wants to go to San Francisco and they could give them a truckload of talent, now they can't give them draft picks as most of them are gone, but I would say that they so want to trade him to the AFC, but if he only wants to go to San Francisco, but he just shot that down.
I don't see why San Francisco would really care to do it.
Why?
Because they were almost in the – if Brock Purdy doesn't get injured,
right,
they may be in the Super Bowl with a rookie, the last player drafted overall. What do you need to move a hall of talent for Aaron Rodgers when you already know you can do it with whoever you put it?
Well, all right, I'll give you a good reason. They were almost in the Super Bowl with Gorgeous Jimmy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they traded a trove of draft picks so they can move up to get Trey Lance.
But now maybe they've learned since then.
I guess. That was the one thing I always used to bump heads with Steve Young about. He'd say, you know, he can win with anybody. He's such an offensive genius. Then why you go out of your way to get Trey Lance?
But even if you can win with anybody, why not double down and make sure you got a really great quarterback? Like, what are you trying to prove? Right. What do you think? You get a shinier Vince Lombardi trophy because you did it with a lesser quarterback? You get the same trophy. And you won't have him for that long, so you can still have Purdy. You could still maybe get something for Trey Lance, or still have Trey Lance waiting in the wings too. Because I think Rodgers is going to give you two really good years, I think. But for San Francisco, even if it just ends up being one.
Let's go to Frank. In Central Jersey.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thank God. I'm doing pretty good. For Don, I'd like to know if he could speak briefly on his memories of the great Bobby Hull, who just passed away. And a question for Peter on the Royal Rumble. I enjoyed it. I thought it was one of the best ever.
Wow.
The 30-man over-the-top battle royale was incredible. How Logan Paul and Ricochet did that move, one of the best moves I've ever seen in my life. It really was. And what exactly do you think The Undertaker said to Bray Wyatt? We spoke about it a couple of months ago. You had indicated you thought Bray might have been the next phenom. Do you think Undertaker privately passed the torch?
Wow, Frank, with a very detailed question. First of all, I'll be very brief. Thank you for the call, Frank. I believe the Logan Paul Ricochet spot in the middle of the ring. I tell you what, for a couple of YouTubers, vloggers, whatever Jake Paul and Logan Paul were originally, they're incredible athletes, man. Logan Paul is special. And I have no idea what Undertaker said to Bray, but I know that it meant a lot to Bray. So we'll see. And on Bobby Hull.
Just an amazing player. You know, probably one of, if not the top father-son combinations of all time, because statistically Brett was better, but Bobby played a different era. But it also has to be addressed that
top five
apparently
list?
Off the ice, not the greatest guy in the world.
Yeah, he had two charges of domestic violence by two wives. Said awful things, supposedly to a Russian newspaper, which half of them he denied.
Mm.
But you can't deny what kind of player he was. It's just one of those complicated things. Do you deify somebody in death when they obviously had their warts? I will tell you a quick Bobby Hull thing for me. Probably the greatest gift I ever got for Christmas was Bobby Hull hockey.
Mm.
It was the greatest. It's kind of like what you see not air hockey, but those domed hockey.
With the rods.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Oh, it was
great. Terrific. He was very meaningful to the game. Signing that amazing $2 million contract with the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, he didn't want to go there and, like, you know, give me $2 million. They go, okay. And maybe there isn't, you know, the merger and all that. So there was a lot of great things on the ice. But, Michael, I know it's very difficult in death to talk negative about somebody, but these are things that you can look up. So I think you can do both things. You can honor the player, how we know him, but also acknowledge there's a lot of nasty things that happened away from the ice that can be brought up as well.
We will talk to the great Howie Rose. Great story by Andrew Marchand in the Post today about some of the physical stuff, really serious stuff that Howie has been going through. But he forges on with the Mets on the radio side, and he will talk to us next right here on The K Show.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Love Howie Rose.
Well, listen, he's my spirit animal.
He's your spirit animal. Talk to me. What does that mean?
Well, that means that when growing up listening to him doing Mets Extra.
He's not that much older than you.
But he's what maybe 13, 14 years older than me. But when I was a kid, he was on the air doing Mets Extra as a young guy, and I'm like, "Boy, I'd love to do that." Then he started backing up Marv on radio for the Rangers. Boy, I'd love to do that.
I'd like to back up an Albert.
And I've done 16 years of Jets pre and post until the Twins, and now I'm backing up Kenny the way he backed up Kenny's dad.
Wow.
So he's my spirit animal. I honestly and truly love this man.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
Really deep. Let's bring him in.
Oh, he's on?
Yeah.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah. He heard everything you said. Howie, what do you think about you being Don's spirit animal?
Well, Michael, can you leave Don and I alone for a while so we can have a moment or two?
And I listened to your spot on the Beatle channel last night, too, man. I'm a fan.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Wow. That was such a thrill for me. It really was. You know, Dennis and I go way back. Dennis just did precede me by a year or two at Queens College, and so he was an inspiration to me because he was already working on WNEW-FM when I started at Queens College.
Now, what was your favorite Beatles
song? See, we all inspire each other eventually.
Yes.
Did they ask you what your favorite Beatles song?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let It Be?
Let It Be. Yeah, has a lot of personal significance to me. If you got a minute, I'll explain that.
Sure.
Otherwise, I just leave it hanging there like a big muscle ball. But my mom's name was Mary, as Paul's was. And as you guys know, I have been honored to MC many events at First Shea Stadium and then Citi Field. And I love doing it. I mean, I can be speaking to 50,000 plus people. I don't get nervous. I love it. It fuels me, to be honest with you. But the one time I really was nervous was when I had to speak and deliver a eulogy at my mom's funeral. Now, when I was at Shea Stadium in 2006, and we brought back the 86 Mets for a 20-year reunion, while I was introducing the Mets, all I could think of, because my podium was out at second base, was this is exactly where the Beatles were when they played Shea in 65 and 66. Their stage was right where I'm standing right now. And I'm introducing all these Mets, and all I can think about is the Beatles. So that's the impact they've had on me. So now you go to 2015 and the day of my mom's funeral. I'm not sure I can pull it off. I mean, I was that nervous. I was very uncomfortable. You want to get it right. It's your mom. So just before we left for the funeral, I asked my wife and daughter, do me a favor, give me 5 minutes, stay downstairs. I went up to my office, and I played the version of Let It Be that was included in the movie, which happens to be my favorite version of it. And I'm telling you, that gave me the strength to get through the eulogy.
That is unreal.
Well, you know, we all read the story that Andrew Marchand wrote today in the Post, and certainly you have a lot of strength in a lot of areas. And Howie, you came forward with a very personal story. I mean, you were in some danger there, weren't you?
Well, you know, I never necessarily felt like I was in grave danger, because from the very beginning, they seemed pretty certain that the tumors did not leave my bladder. And then the pathology backed that up. Now, that last bit of pathology took place after the surgery. So it wasn't until I was home already, so let's say a week or 10 days after the surgery that they told me that everything was clear, which was the greatest news I could have hoped for. I was never in pain, per se, other than, you know, during treatments and post-surgical. Maybe I was just stupid or ignorant, but I kept being assured that I'd be able to handle this. It wouldn't be easy, and, you know, there would be some lifestyle changes, which I've learned to adjust to. But it was difficult. I mean, it was difficult on my family, obviously, and as I've said, my wife, I keep coming back to the term Wonder Woman, that's Barbara. And, you know, I said at the writer's dinner the other night, what she had to do was ridiculous because, you know, she's an interior designer. She's not a nurse. But when we got home from the hospital, I've got all these drains and tubes and wires, and she's got to clean them and empty them and maintain them. And so I've made her a very, very solemn promise that if, God forbid, the shoe were ever on the other foot, and it was me who had to be the caretaker, I promise you, I pledge to you that we're getting a live-in nurse. There's no way in the world. There is no chance. I'm just not cut out for that. I don't know how she did it, but she's the greatest.
And the beauty of baseball, Howie, as somebody that's not just a fan of your work but also a fan of the Mets and consume a lot of it on radio because of you and just my love of the medium, is that you work so hard that when you leave the broadcast, people notice and people think the worst. Like, were you conscious of how people felt when you disappeared for a bit?
Yeah, and I really had to put those misgivings I had on the back burner because I just had to be selfish, you know, and take care of myself and be almost narcissistic about my recovery without much concern for whatever anybody else thought. I knew they would be concerned because I was so vague, but I just wasn't in the mood to talk about it. It's not that I was opposed necessarily to talk about it,
But just since the column, and Andrew did such a wonderful job conveying the whole story in the Post yesterday, and Andrew Marchand, that is, you know, it's kind of come back all over again now. A lot of people wanting to talk about it. And at least on the digital edition online, the headline kind of was ambiguous and intimated that this might have been something new. So I have people reaching out as though this were a brand new story. And I've had to, on many, many occasions, kind of verbally put the brakes on and go, hey, this was a little while ago, and it's all good now. And I just thought it was I had an obligation to tell the story because the baseball writers honored Mike Vaccaro and me with the Milton and Arthur Richmond You Gotta Have Heart Award for persevering through personal difficulties. That was given to me and us, I should say, at the annual writers' dinner this past Saturday night. And I felt, look, they're giving me this award, and I'm speaking in front of, I don't know what it was, 800 people or so, and in effect, the public. I can't be vague, and I've got to tell them why I'm here, what I'm being honored for. And to be honest with you, it almost felt cathartic to a point, too. It was good to get it off my chest. It was good to get it out there. And it was enlightening, really, to step back and realize, you know, there might be a couple of people who can get a little something out of this. And if, heaven forbid, someone else is going through this identical situation, I'm here for them. I'd love to help them. I'd love to hear their story and do whatever I can to maybe make the journey a little easier.
I mean, not that we need reminding, but none of us is immortal. When you go through something like this, you know, you've cut down your games just a bit. Did you ever think about saying, you know what? That's it. I've got to enjoy the rest. I mean, you obviously enjoy what you're doing, but I want to be with my wife. I want to be with my kids more. Did that ever enter your mind when you were going through this?
You know, Michael, it almost was the opposite of that. And that's nothing I was conscious of right away. And I think there are a lot of factors involved, not the least of which is you do feel as though you're somewhat reborn when you get what really does feel like a second chance. And you want to live your life to the fullest, which means doing what you enjoy. And I very, very much enjoy being the radio voice of the New York Mets. That's not something I'm prepared to walk away from. Of course, I always have to keep in mind that I'm the hired help. I wouldn't be so presumptuous as to say that, you know, I make the call whenever I'm ready. They may have other ideas down the road. But at the same time, I can tell you that as of a couple of years ago, before all this happened, I was thinking, you know, 70 might be a pretty good time to shut it down. Things were different then, though. That's before Steve Cohen bought the Mets and before all of this renewed energy took place that really creates so much energy and excitement and inertia within the franchise right now that hadn't existed for a while. I want to be a part of that. You know, there's only one thing left for me to accomplish in this business, quite frankly, and that's to make the call that I've dreamt of making since I was a kid, that the Mets win the World Series. That's what I'm holding out for. You know, when they won the pennant in 2015 in Chicago and those words came out of my mouth, the Mets win the pennant, I was getting goosebumps while I was saying them. I had to keep myself under control because that's how much it means to me, having really dreamt of doing that into a live mic in real time as far back as I can remember. So, yeah, I'm holding out for that one last call.
Is 69 bigger to you than 86?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I was 15, you know.
Right.
That's the main reason, I guess, Don. But the other thing is that in 69, it was so unexpected. And it's hard to explain, unless you're old enough, to really understand what the Mets were when they were born, what they represented to a city where so many fans were disenfranchised by the move of the Dodgers and the Giants. And, you know, the attendance in those 4 years, 58 through 61 inclusive, for the Yankees was flat because it's not as though they had this windfall from all of these disenfranchised fans. Those were National League fans who were not going to root for the Yankees. And you know, the fact that the Yankees stayed where they were in terms of their attendance reflected that. So just the Mets' very creation in 1962 was so special. And not only did they lose with regularity, but they lost colorfully. And they had Casey Stengel, who is the father of the franchise and did more to create good tidings for what was a bad ball club than any other person on earth could have done. But you had to have been there to kind of get that. And so, yeah, there was a losing culture for 6-7 years, and it was unfathomable to me as a 15-year-old, right up until Cleon Jones squeezed that last fly ball. Nah, this can't be. Something's going to go wrong. This can't possibly happen. And then it happened. And it can never be like that again, but I can never be 15 again.
Howie, how invested, let's suppose next year, and it's not unrealistic to say this, the Mets go on a deep run and really have a shot at winning the whole thing. At this stage in your career, with how long you've been doing it, how like emotionally invested would you be in them bringing home a championship?
You know, Peter, I could only look back, as I said, to 2015, and to know that as I was literally delivering the words, the Mets win the pennant, and could feel the shivers going up my spine as I said that, I don't know that I can even fathom what it would feel like to be in position to make that call. You know, we all take this stuff so seriously, right? And at the end of the day, it's supposed to be fun and games. But whether it's our livelihood or we're just invested in it as a fan, we don't need to make excuses. It means the world to me, and would to be in the position to make that call and to experience that, because it's the ultimate. And, you know, I've been fortunate in my career in that there were two teams that controlled my moods every day for 365 days as a kid, the Rangers and the Mets. And I've been blessed beyond belief to have been able to call games for both of those teams, to have been there in 1994 when the Rangers won the Cup. That was more than a bucket list thing. That was the fulfillment of a dream that just seemed so unreachable. And to be in position to be there for hopefully a Mets World Championship sooner than later would be the topper of them all, to be honest with you.
Howie, how about that ingrate Wayne Randazzo leaving the booth?
Well, you know, kids today, they're so ungrateful. You raise them and they can't wait to get away. And speaking of raising kids, where do you see the and hear the two that I'll be working with this year?
I know.
I feel like at the end of the, I feel like I got to take those two out for ice cream when it's over. You know, look, what's been written, I know it's not 100% official, but it's been written. It's been out there. Keith Radd, who was in Brooklyn last year, is going to be my full-time partner, and Pat McCarthy, who is Tom's son. Tom was my former partner, is now the TV voice of the Phillies. Pat will do the pre and post and also fill in on the games that I miss. And that's, you know, pretty close to a quarter of the schedule. So I'm just delighted. I strongly believe in something that Marv Albert taught me, and I mentioned this at the dinner the other night, and that is to pay it forward. Marv continues to be the biggest single influence in my career. I've told him this as recently as 72 or 96 hours ago, whatever Saturday night was. You know, he still means everything to me in this business. And one of the things that he taught me from the very beginning when I met him in 1967 was, and he didn't verbalize it then, it just kind of sinks in after a while, that we do have an obligation to pay it forward and bring the younger broadcasters along and not feel threatened, feel honored. You know, feel as I say, honored to have had a career as long as I've had, and Michael, you've had, and Don, you're working on, and Peter, you're still a child, right? So you've got a ways to go. But, you know, the point is that you don't get, I mean, I'm just about 50 years now in broadcasting, pretty close to it. And that's a privilege. That's an honor. And with that comes an obligation to bring the next couple of generations along. And I relish that, I treasure that, and I can't wait to work with Keith and Pat.
All right, so you are going to go into the Mets Hall of Fame Saturday, June 3rd. We're thrilled for you, but most of all, we're thrilled that you seem like everything is great and healthy, and we just wanted to pop you on. You could hear Howie on Mets Radio, WCBS, and we thank them for giving permission to have us talk with Howie. So thanks, Howie.
Thanks to them. Thank you.
You know, you guys have been so great to me over the years. I love listening to you, and I just, you know, really appreciate the fact that, you know, you reached out today because, you know, since that article came out, I've been, here goes again. I gotta talk to a lot of people, but now it's for a good reason, and I appreciate you giving me that forum. Thank you.
Right. Oh, Be well, my friend. Be well.
Thanks, Howie.
Take care.
Thanks, you too.
That is Howie Rosel going with Gary Cohen. Howard Johnson and Al Leiter to the Mets Hall of Fame.
Another reason, spirit animals, Michael, we both worked at Sports Phone, and we have the same birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
February 13th.
February 13th.
Wow. You going to call him?
Well, now I can.
Okay, yeah.
Because I just got his number today. We DM each other on occasion, and I reached out to see if we can get him on today, because, again, I was so moved by the story, and I know because of, you know, CBS and the rivalry that sometimes it's tough, but I'm glad in the offseason they gave the permission because I want to get a chance to talk to him.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let It Be and Hey Jude, I think, are my favorites.
Your favorite Beatles song?
Wow, it's a tough
of all time.
Hey Jude is my favorite.
No.
But I across the universe.
I could live without both. No, Let It Be's nice. I don't listen to it though.
What do you listen to?
The greatest, it's not about my favorite. The greatest Beatles song of all time is In My Life.
In My Life is great, but that's an awesome song.
Yeah, there's not much to say. It's just
And While My Guitar Gently Weeps is amazing as well. The George song.
I mean, you know, Michael, his favorite's probably like Yellow Submarine.
He just told you what his favorite was.
But does he even mean it?
And the other thing, you have to have a favorite Beatle. Mine's Paul.
Paul.
Mine is the front man, John.
Nancy is George.
Poor Ringo. Nobody's as Ringo.
And she was thrilled because Marco and Jalen can name them all. And it gets sad because then she talks about Marco says, and George and John, they're in heaven, right? Do you have pictures of John in heaven? I'm like, no. Well,
what about Ringo?
Well, Ringo's still with us.
Ringo's still with us, you animal. Peace and love. What's wrong with you?
Isn't that, maybe it's not a great drop, but it's just
it's
as bad.
It's up there with Portier.
It's right up there. Come on. It's
You guys sure?
But what about? You're going to double down?
You're sure Ringo's with us?
Very much so. Still
and
performs.
Ringo is very much with us.
Very much.
Who does he perform with?
His all-star band.
The Ringo Starr all-star band?
What if he didn't perform, okay? He's still with us.
He's not with me. I haven't seen him.
The New York Islanders' 50th anniversary continues. 50th anniversary season continues despite, you know, Peter ripping them off of thousands of dollars of merchandise with celebrations and giveaways all season long at UBS
Arena. They've scaled back the giveaways now.
Oh, they can't. I mean, he took so much. ESPN New York wants to make you a part of this historic season. Enter to win two free tickets. See the Islanders face off against the Canucks at home on February 9th. Just download the ESPN New York app, scroll down to contest, and submit your entry. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. Be sure to visit NewYorkIslanders.com for team news, tickets, and more. And catch every Islanders game live on the Islanders stream, heard only on the ESPN New York app. Let's go to Bill in New Jersey. Bill.
Mike.
Bill.
Mike.
Bill.
Mike.
Okay.
Bill,
go for it, Bill.
Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure, Bill.
Unfortunately.
Mike.
All right, goodbye.
Mike,
no, then I'll take care of you.
No, no.
That was Don. Don said get rid of him.
I didn't touch it. No,
that hurts.
But you said
get
rid of him.
Time. Goodbye. This is not where you try out material. All right? It's our show.
We do it.
Well, that hurts.
We try out material.
And our show.
That was unfortunate what happened to Bill. You think he was joking? He was just riffing?
Well, no, I don't think he was joking. I think I'm saying his name, and I don't think he thought that was the cue to talk.
Might be a lost cause, my G.
I can't wait to
meet Ebros at your wedding.
Can you imagine some of the photos are going to be at this shindig?
I hope it makes a wedding album.
No.
You know, I don't mind. Okay. I hope you don't mind I give an opinion here.
You know what? I don't know.
We got to touch on this Julian Love stuff.
Sure.
Oh, let's do it. We'll get back.
It's irritating me.
You're anti-Julian?
Yes.
Peace and Julian, man.
I don't want to be anti-love, so I'll be anti-Julian.
No, you're definitely not anti-love.
There's a lot here. There's a lot of Nas going around.
Every anniversary, he loves love. You know what I'm saying, Peter?
Once a year, man.
Yeah. I'm sorry, said that.
No, it was just
birthdays. And
no, it's called telling the truth.
Birthdays. Don, you know what Don is? Honest. No one there's no subject more lied about than that subject. The most lied about subject in all of the world.
What is that?
The thing that Don only does on his anniversaries, according to this show.
I didn't touch it.
That subject, because we're all laughing at Don because it's a funny thing and you like to... The truth is, everyone who says that they're Mr. or Mrs. five times a week...
I didn't touch it.
You show me someone who says that, I'll show you a liar.
Oh, yeah. My. So things are really not rocking at the Rosenberg Manhattan, Manhattan house, I hear.
Well, 5 days a week.
Didn't the Beatles write about 8 days a week?
No, I don't think that's what they meant. Oh. They also said a hard day's night. You know, sometimes both can be true. And I've been working like a dog.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what? And they also said help.
You want to go on or should I go to break?
What the F?
Yeah, back in the USSR, it doesn't really work.
I guess it adds meaning to I want to hold your hand.
I am the walrus, cuckoo, ca-choo. You know what that means? I don't even want to get into it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.